Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk joining you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all of our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Hopefully on your way to get some morning baseball at Duty Noble on Monday, you stop by Strange Brew and grab a little something. And, of course, if you live here in Starkville or if you live in Tupelo, that should just be an everyday occurrence. Part of the ritual of your day should be heading over to Strange Brew and grabbing yourself something like that. And then afterwards, you know, a sweet treat from Churn and Spoon always hits the spot. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com. Guys, there are just days remaining. We're almost into the point where I can say hours remaining until Father's Day. Don't let another Father's Day go by without getting some brand new Mississippi State merchandise. You don't want the soap on the rope. You don't want the light up tie. You don't want another, you know, bottle of cologne or aftershave that you're never going to wear. What you want is a brand new MSU polo and a brand new MSU Columbia shirt, a new baseball cap, something from Mississippi State. Get it from College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. Humble Taco here in Starkville, Mexican fare with Mississippi roots. It is the place to go to enjoy yourself, to have some great food, have a great time with your friends, whatever kind of friends you've got, vegan, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-friendly, the menu can accommodate you. They've got great local beers, margaritas on tap, everything you need to have a great time. It's right there at Humble Taco. Check them out in the on University Drive, Starkville's newest and best Mexican restaurant. Robbie, we will be enjoying some. First of all, what is your middle name?
I don't know if I want to go there.
If you're, what's the initial?
Make fun
what's
of me?
The initial?
S.
See, somebody mentioned this. Robbie S. Falk doesn't have
doesn't
the
work.
Same.
It's Robert S. Uh-huh. But I don't like Robert either.
Yeah,
like,
no.
So I don't like to be formally called that.
Robbie Falk.
And all of Joel's gimmicks, uh-huh, I feel like, are his. Like,
yeah.
We need a lot of people
to find our own gimmicks.
People don't like change.
No,
that's the bottom line. They didn't like whenever
especially.
They didn't like whenever Joel came in and replaced Bob, and now Joel's been replaced here. I don't feel like I can replace Joel, so I have to make my own way, and something will come up organically that's my thing. I don't think I have to make any kind of wrestling sounds or anything like that.
I agree.
We don't have to do the middle initial or anything like that. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
Something will happen down the road, and we'll go with it.
100%. I just wanted to know what the initial was. We will be seeing baseball here at Duty Noble Field next weekend. Mississippi State will take on Notre Dame in their fifth straight Super Regional, the only program in the country. That is really difficult to believe, that they're the only ones. I know Arkansas didn't, because I know in 16, when State beat them to win the SEC title, Arkansas was really bad that year. So that's probably that. Vanderbilt hasn't been to four straight Super five.
So I actually researched this the other day for that very purpose. I went back to every single Super Regional. It took me like 2 hours. I couldn't find another way. So I went back through every Super Regional, basically took down every single team that's ever won, calculated it up, and Miami has been to 9 straight before. Cal State Fullerton's been to 8 straight. Florida State 7 straight. LSU 6. And then you got 4 other teams that have been to 5 straight. But nobody's been to 5 straight since 2017. So this is the first time since 2017 that a team has been to 5 straight Super Regionals. And it's just a testament of how difficult that is. And then you add into the fact that Mississippi State has had 4 different head coaches doing that. That's unbelievable. I mean, and every team's been different. Every single team has been different. None of them have been the same. 2016, that team was built around offense, had some good pitching. That was arguably probably a top.
That's the best team in this period.
Yeah, it's probably a top 3 or 4 Mississippi State team.
Yeah, I agree.
Would you agree on talent alone?
Yeah.
And then 17 was a team that, you know, Brent Rooker and Jake Mangum just kind of carried that team. They had no pitching.
Carried is a light term.
Right.
Drug. They drugged that team to the postseason.
And they had to fight back through the regionals after losing in the first game. Mm-hmm. 18 was a team that barely made the SEC tournament.
Had no business being.
Had to do the same thing, fight back.
Yeah.
And that team got hot at the right time, and they were legitimate national championship contenders when they got to Omaha because they had good enough pitching.
They went from being the worst team in the SEC and one of the worst teams in Mississippi State history.
Yes.
They finished a game away from playing for a national title.
Yes. And you know, they had the pitching. They had some pitching that they could actually piece it together. The hitting just exploded. Right. I mean, Tanner Allen and Rowdy Jordan came along.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then 19 was a really good team.
Really good team.
This year has been filled with question marks. I mean, you kind of come into this regional after the SEC tournament, and you think, I would not be surprised if this team lost in this home regional. It wasn't until I saw the brackets that I felt like Mississippi State, I felt pretty good about Mississippi State's chances. But after that SEC tournament, you know, I was kind of down on the Bulldogs, and I didn't know if they could make it to the regional. Now you're at the point, you're hosting at home in the Super Regionals, you're at the point where, you know, anything can happen, and State has a chance to go to three straight College World Series, which would be an even more incredible feat.
Is it fair to say this about this baseball team? If you say, what do they do well? They win.
Yes.
They're not a particularly great hitting team. They're not a good defensive team. Pitching, they're good, but they have a lot of inconsistency as far as pitching goes.
Yes.
But they find ways to win, and that's why I would be excited about their potential as they continue in the postseason. And that's why you mentioned the four coaches in 5 years and all that kind of stuff. It makes me think that once this program gets that stability that Lemonis appears to be going to provide, and if he is indeed a good coach, which it appears that he is, that the most elusive prize is getting closer. You know, you can't, and this is what I always said about Rick Stansberry, and I'm not trying to compare Lemonis to Stansberry by any stretch, but if you just keep going to the dance, eventually you will break through. And that's what this is going to be. State is on the verge now. They're two wins away from a third straight trip to Omaha. Never happened before in program history. Think about all the great players that have come through here. Will Clark was here for 3 years, one College World Series. Richard Lee in that group, two College World Series. But then you think about all the rest of these of the great teams that State's had, 89, 90 teams that were fantastic, or 90 team made it, but the 89 team, which was so good.
That 97 team that went to Omaha, they had the number one class in the nation recruiting, and they almost didn't go to Omaha at all.
Yeah.
Eric DuBose and those guys, they went to
Omaha.
The
98 regional was even closer.
Right.
They're in Texas A&M.
So they almost didn't even, and that just tells you how difficult it is to get to Omaha.
02 when you had Mahalam, and you couldn't get, I mean, they're on the verge of going to three. Tanner Allen, Rowdy Jordan, and Josh Hatcher are the only ones left. And Hatcher, you know, is a little, obviously doesn't really, not the same oomph this year, but he's a big piece a year ago or 2 years ago. It really is something. It feels like as the consistency is and it becomes more entrenched. And, you know, you look at next year, Jake Gautreau, it was reported by Kendall Rogers last night, not going to take the Rice job. It's probably going to bring him back for another year. I can't imagine Scott Foxhall's going anywhere. That kind of consistency, and you build relationships with recruits, and you know, next year you're going to see a lot more of the team's going to have a different footprint next year. It'll be more. It will really be a lot more of a Chris Lemonis team in 2021.
And here's what I've always said about, you know, winning a national championship. It's really a crapshoot. It's really a crapshoot. I'm watching the Arkansas game right now. They're tied at 2 in the 7th inning. There's a possibility that Arkansas does not make it out of their own regional.
Right.
They've been number one almost the entire year.
Right.
And, I mean, I know
they'll
people
probably win, but
probably so,
but this is
what happens. But, you know, I know people are so desperate for that national championship, and it is literally the only thing that this team has not accomplished. They've been one of the most successful programs in SEC history. They have been to 10 trips to Omaha. Only Florida State, I think, has been more times and not won a national championship. But it shows you how difficult it is when you get there to win it. And for any team, just getting to Omaha is tough. And that is that the key for me is, I've always said, consistently getting to Super Regionals. If you're consistently getting to Super Regionals, you're consistently hosting, you're going to put yourself in position. And when you get to Omaha, anything can happen. Eventually, you feel like it's going to happen for you. You're going to have the right nucleus. If this program is going to Omaha and going to Super Regionals like this in five straight years, when there's been so much instability, I mean, it's really mind-boggling when you think about what this program has become to this point, to have John Cohen moving out as the head coach after 8 to 10 years or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Andy Cannizzaro coming in here mm-hmm. that's never been a head coach. Andy Cannizzaro moving out after the first series of the season and going back to Omaha. And then you get a brand new coach in there with a lot of great players, but he knew what to do with the talent at hand. He did not screw it up. And now you got an even more of an imbalance there because you've had so much turnover. You got a little bit of an imbalance from a roster standpoint, and you're still in position here. So you got to think now you're starting to build your recruiting classes. You're starting to build your identity in recruiting. You got to think Chris Lemonis is setting the stage for that elusive national championship. And who knows? It can happen this year. I mean, I was just in an argument with someone last night about how Rice was a better program than Mississippi State, which I vehemently disagree. But a lot of people hold that national championship on a pedestal, and that is the end-all, be-all for a program. That's not true. That's not how it works. Arkansas didn't have a national championship either. But you continue to get there, it's going to come.
Yeah. I always think back to when Cohen became athletic director, and I was really surprised he didn't coach that final season. And I was actually really surprised he took the athletic director job. And it shows you how passionate he was about getting that job. Because I kept thinking, like, 16 may have been his best team.
Yes.
Ever. It was his best team. And I felt like this program is on the verge of a national title. Why would you walk away? And the fact that, like you said, Cannizzaro came in as a first-time head coach and was able to get his team to... I mean, and say what you want about Rooker and Mangum. Rooker was much better under Cannizzaro than he was under Mangum. Or under Cohen, I mean. Coaching had to have a part in that. It just did. And then in 18, you lose Cannizzaro that first weekend, and Henderson is able to just... to rally the troops the way he did late in the season. And then obviously we saw what happened in 19. I agree. And then that's the thing. You know, you keep having winning. This is the same thing, argument I have with football. People are always like, you know, why can't we take the next step? It takes a while. It is a process. Nick Saban is right. Winning is a process. You don't just turn on the lights and become a winner. You've got to build.
And it's not just about, you know, you won a national championship. But that's great. What's Fresno State doing now?
Yeah.
What has Rice done since 2003?
Exactly.
It's a lot more than that. There's a lot more than that. And a lot of teams have won a national championship and are nowhere to be found. I mean, Coastal Carolina's been a decent program, but they haven't really done anything since.
And you say things like, you know, oh, well, State's been building this whole time and blah, blah, blah. In 2015, they were dead last in the SEC. Dead last. And, you know, it's taken some time. Now I feel like State is at the point where they're 5 straight super regionals. And looking ahead to next year, I think they've got the pieces to do it again. You know, they got some good hitters coming back. They're going to have good pitchers. I think they're going to be in really good shape. So,
if they fill some spots,
yeah,
that team has the potential to be a better overall team than this year. Which is, it feels strange to say because you're going to lose two front end starters mm-hmm. and you're going to lose your right fielder and center fielder that have been here forever. But look at what they have coming back. They have all the guys that are hitting for power are back. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of young pitchers that we're not seeing a ton from that I think is going to make a major step. I think they need to fill in some spots with some transfers that are going to be immediately eligible that they might get.
Which they will do.
Yes, and if they do that, I mean, this team has all the potential to be a more steady team than this year's team.
I agree. Looking at this team and looking at what happened this weekend, you know, we obviously recapped Friday, Saturday on our show yesterday. But looking at today, first off, you got to give Campbell a lot of credit because I think, you know, then go back to the top of the first inning and you have the infield single and then, Tanner Allen hits a single, I think it was, I can't remember what the second at bat was, but State had two on with nobody out. Was that right? I think that's right. It doesn't matter. State gets off to that 2-0 lead and you're like, okay, this is going to be a long day for Campbell. And instead, they come back in the bottom of first, hit a 3-run home run, take the lead. State gets the lead back, and then they never went away, despite the fact that they had to throw two pitchers who had already thrown this weekend, despite the fact that they clearly were outmatched. I give them a lot of credit. But I give credit to Mississippi State, too, because, you know, with the way that went for Fristo at the beginning, it could have just unraveled. Mm-hmm. And even though you brought in Houston Harding, he could have followed it up not as sharp as he was. Houston Harding sort of saved everybody by coming in and putting together another quality performance. That's really two in a row from him because he had such a great weekend at Alabama. You know, we didn't see him in the SEC tournament. Houston Harding, you know, there was a case being made in the press box that he could have been regional MVP.
Yes. I thought he had a really good case. And had he gotten out of that inning, or had Preston Johnson gotten him out of it, I guess, I think that I would have walked over there to Greg Campbell and told him I'm changing my pick. He was phenomenal, and he's been that way almost all year. The Missouri game notwithstanding, he has been steady all year long. I mean, almost every single game. 5 innings pitched, 3 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts, which I believe was a career high. And two of the hits, I think, or maybe just one of the hits and one of the walks and both runs came in that last inning when he allowed the first two guys to reach in that inning. Loaded the bases in the third or fourth, and I thought that was the ball game, really, because Campbell could have made something happen right there and really tightened things up, but he came back, got 3 straight strikeouts. Hadn't always been a strikeout guy. He didn't get any strikeouts against Alabama, but 10 on Monday, and was just fantastic. The Campbell coach said that his changeup was looking really good, but he also had a good fastball, and his breaking ball was really good. So he had a really good mix. They couldn't catch up to his fastball, which was sitting anywhere from 89 to 91. Wasn't throwing really hard, but he was missing bats, and they just could not figure him out. And we've seen that over and over this year, mm-hmm. and it's why I felt like they need to have a right-handed pitcher start off a ball game and have Houston come in behind them, just because it changes everything. I mean,
you've got to change that right-handed pitcher now. I think you and I both agree.
You have to.
I won't be surprised if we see Fristo again, but it's not going to be in a starting role.
You
might get an inning out of him somewhere down the road in relief.
At this point, you are now in desperation mode. And what I mean by that is you have to have a good start every game.
Yeah.
You can't come out and have that happen, because now you aren't going to go up against anybody like Campbell.
No, you're not.
Which they pitched above their head in that ball game, but State was still able to rally and get six runs and get that lead back. You can't afford to get down against Notre Dame 5-0 or 3-0 in the first inning. And that's what they did against Arkansas too. Like, they've got to come out and they've got to get a good start. And whether Houston Harding's going to be able to do that, I don't know, because the last start was not good. But he's had some really good starts this year too. So I think actually the sample size is larger that Harding has been a good starter than it is that he's not.
No, I agree with that. I don't think he's a bad starter at all, but I do agree with you. Your premise that the hard-throwing right-hander followed up by the crafty left-hander is just a very good formula. And then when you can let Landon Sims get you 9 outs, that's your best-case scenario. It all goes back to Friday and the decision to start Bednar. And actually, I take it back. It goes back further than that. It goes back to the beginning of the season, where there was obviously a conscious decision made by Lemonis and Foxhall that said, look, we have all this depth at pitching. We have so many guys who can throw so hard. We are not, under any circumstances, going to overthrow our guys. Sims, McLeod, Bednar, and I'm sure at the time the thought was for Sarantola as well. Like, we are going to manage these guys so that when we get to June and it's postseason time, we're ready to go. We're not going to have any worries about guys being worn out and hitting the wall. The Fresto hitting the wall is a different situation because he's a freshman. The rest of those guys, especially with Sarantola, if it's worked out. If Sarantola had been what he was supposed to be, he would be fresh too. And Matt, as good as everything has gone for Mississippi State, and we talked about it yesterday, imagine if Sarantola had been what Sarantola could be.
If Josh Hatcher would be what he could be at first base.
If
Josh Hatcher's batting .310 right now with 12 bombs.
If Josh Hatcher is batting .270 with 8 bombs.
I mean, it's unbelievable when you think about it. Yeah. Mississippi State has had, so many opportunities to just tank this year, mm-hmm. and they should be. They're not doing it. They just don't. They don't lose. I mean, they do lose, but they're not going on these long losing streaks and falling apart. They just figure out a way to win. But to your point, one of the things that you said that I think needs to be reiterated here. I see a lot of people saying Jackson Fristo is Eric Sarantola 2.0, which I think is just crazy.
I disagree with that.
What we're seeing from Jackson Fristo right now is a player that has never thrown the amount of pitches that he's thrown this year.
Yeah.
He started almost every single weekend in the SEC. He's pitched in, 20,
he started
15
every
games?
There has not been a weekend where he did not start.
Did he not start? I'm trying to think. Sarantola started a couple of times.
Yeah, but Bednar wasn't starting.
That's true. That's true. Anyway, he's pitched a lot this year, yeah. And we've seen this so many times. And, like, people just immediately
– look here. Go ahead, though.
People just immediately jump to, oh, his career's over. Like, he's a true freshman.
Yeah.
He didn't even pitch nearly this much in high school in Kentucky. He was not throwing nearly as much as he is right now. So it's just, to me, just to go ahead and just throw in the towel on this kid because he's a true freshman and he's hit a wall is ridiculous. I think this kid is going to be a stud on the weekend in the SEC for Mississippi State.
Okay. The only guy who started every weekend, there have been 16 weekends,
it's Christian McLeod.
Fristo has 14 appearances and 12 starts.
Okay.
So that means he's got two. I know one of his relief appearances was in the Alabama series. No, he didn't pitch against Alabama. It was against it was in the SEC tournament. He got an inning in there somewhere.
No, it wasn't in the tournament.
Was it against Alabama?
It was a midweek. It was a midweek.
Yeah, you're right. It was the week of Alabama.
Yeah.
Whoever they played. Jacksonville State. Yeah. And then I don't remember the other relief. Oh, I do remember the other relief appearance. It was against LSU. He came in the second inning. So he basically started that game as well.
That's right.
So in reality, he has 13 starts on the year. That's second most on the team. He's tied. You know, he would be ahead of Bednar if he had started the LSU game, which in hindsight, he should have.
And to say things like, you know, he's not mentally tough, stuff like that, it's just ridiculous. He's and I don't think that he's, you know, getting out there and falling apart because we've seen him time and time again get himself into trouble and get out of it. I literally think that he's just thrown so many pitches that he just needs to rest. He needs to rest his body and build his stamina up a little bit moving in the next season because I think he has a chance, like I said, to be really good.
Yeah, I mean,
you've got to go with Harding here. You don't trust Brandon Smith starting. You don't trust Cade Smith in this kind of situation just yet. You don't trust Jackson Fristo. So I think you just live and die with Harding on a game three if it comes to that.
I would agree with that.
And you know, hopefully State can win the first two games. It's going to be really tough,
I think. Won't be an issue then, yeah.
But if you win those first two games and get to Omaha, you don't have to use them, you're in good shape.
All right. Let's move on. We're going to stay with baseball, but let's talk about our sponsors over at Welcome Home Beef. Great specials going this week at Welcome Home Beef. You got to give them a call and figure out what's going on with those guys because, I mean, the product quality at this point, I mean, it just speaks for itself. Whenever I'm dealing with them, I'm always a happy camper. Let's just put it that way. So we mentioned that ground beef. Where is the – I have a text from the guy. There it is. Like my phone has been active today. That happens when MSU plays a game.
Yes.
Anyway, we've still got ground chuck on sale, $2.89 a pound. Ground brisket. So we're talking about brisket burgers.
Ooh.
Delicious. $3.99 a pound. And this week, sirloin steaks on sale, $4.99 a pound. So call them, and you can put some of that great stuff on the grill this weekend for sure. 662-268-8148 or visit them online at welcomehomebeef.com. Welcome Home Beef.
It just tastes good.
Two Brothers Smoked Meats, not open on a Monday, so you missed out on them today. But, hey, you'll be back this weekend, and they'll be back this weekend. Make sure you swing by and enjoy Two Brothers Smoked Southern Soul Food. It is the best. It is one of my favorite places, not only in Starkville, but in the SEC. Robbie and I know we've traveled all over this conference and across the country following Mississippi State sports, eating at a lot of great places. I put Two Brothers up there with just about any of them. So head over to 621 University Drive and enjoy Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Advantage Business Systems makes it easy for you because they're going to put both things you need from anybody you're doing business with under one roof. They're going to give you an incredible selection of products, technology, information systems, copiers, printers, everything your business needs to run efficiently. But they're also going to back that up with the best customer service because they are a local business at heart. They've been doing business with Mississippians for nearly 50 years, and they've been helping out lots of local businesses just like yours. Call them today. Find out what they can do for you. The number is 601-362-9192, or you'll visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business.
Do you have a problem with how I say it just tastes good?
I don't have a problem with anything you do.
Okay.
So, but if I had a problem, you'd know about it.
Oh, I know.
I'd come across this table.
I know.
You see,
I've seen it before.
So somebody gave Brad Haynes today did a GIF, and he made you X-Pac. I felt bad for you.
What? Yeah. I didn't see this.
Yeah, it's the one where he comes out the first time with Triple H. So I got to be Triple H, and you're X-Pac. And I was like,
nobody likes X-Pac.
Robbie doesn't deserve that heat.
Nobody likes X-Pac.
No, no, that's what I'm saying. So, looking ahead to this weekend, Mississippi State versus Notre Dame. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. No team hotter than Notre Dame. They really took it personally. I think that they were not a top eight seed. They a lot of anger in that face.
I was told that you can't be angry and win with anger.
That's not correct. 50-5. That was their combined score of their three wins. I mean, five is one thing. I mean, only about five runs in three games. Pretty good pitching, obviously. But the 50 stands out. Now, they got 26 in one game. But that just means they had 24 in the other two.
Yeah.
Now, this is a lot of people were making a lot of jokes about Notre Dame. But this is not a pushover team by any means coming to Starkville.
No. I think the whole thing with that was people just thinking they haven't played anybody. But they also haven't really lost to anybody either. I mean, they've lost 11 games in the season. They won 25 conference games. It's not like they're...
We may have some breaking news in the middle of this show.
Mason Miller I just saw that.
Oh, Lord.
We'll keep an eye on that.
It needs to happen in the next 10 to 15 minutes, otherwise we're moving it.
Yeah, I have a suspicion of what it might be, but we'll just see.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I'm just guessing.
Is it one of the two that you mentioned?
I think so. I think it could be.
Okay.
But no, Notre Dame is a dangerous team, and this is a team that you don't want to play in the postseason at this point. When any team that's playing like that, that's hot like that at the plate, that can pitch as well.
Yeah,
you don't want to see them at this stage.
And they're motivated,
right?
Because they know, like the narrative was, they don't deserve that seed, right?
That's right.
They know if they beat Mississippi State, everybody's gonna be saying, "Wow, we really underseeded Notre Dame. They should have been like a four seed."
But here's the thing I keep going back to, man. Duty Noble at nighttime in the postseason, it just feels different.
Agreed.
It just feels different. There's just something that happens, and I think Mississippi State's a completely different team during the day than they are at night too. I don't know what it is. I think I've seen enough of it at this point that I think there's something to it. But Mississippi State during the day is just kind of blah.
Mm-hmm.
And at nighttime, we saw it with the VCU game. I mean, when they needed to impose their will on that game, Duty Noble picked them up and just stomped on VCU.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm interested to see that. Notre Dame has not been in that kind of environment all year.
No.
And I say it every single time, you either embrace that or you fall apart.
Yeah.
And you crash and you burn. VCU crashed and burned. I thought that Campbell embraced it. It wasn't a raucous environment,
right,
on Monday, but I thought that they embraced it.
That was a big reason I think that game was so close on Monday, was that Monday, 11 a.m. first pitch. What would you think? 6,000? I wasn't there when they announced attendance. I don't know.
I never saw the attendance, but
maybe 6,000 people in there. That game had been played Sunday night like it was scheduled to play in front of 10,000 plus, it might have been different.
And let's be honest, I mean, State fans were just... They were just, you know, there was a love affair with Campbell during the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They had gotten close with these guys. There wasn't, I don't know what they were saying in the outfield. I'm sure they were still giving them the business, but it just wasn't the same. Like,
right.
It just didn't, the environment did not feel like the same environment as it did on Saturday night.
Right, I agree.
That's going to change, I think, this weekend. I think it's going to be a wild environment. Hopefully the weather's good. I think it's going to be a nighttime game at least on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
They need nighttime games. They need nighttime games, and I think that it's going to be an electric atmosphere, and we'll see what happens. You're going to be throwing your two big guns out there, and Mississippi State is not going to be intimidated. They've gone up against some really good teams in the SEC this year. At this stage in the game, I'm not expecting State to come out and just fall apart out there. I think it's going to be a really good series. I think it's a good matchup.
From a TV perspective, Mississippi State, Notre Dame, for baseball, that's two national brands. Notre Dame, obviously, is the national brand in any sport they play, and they have the biggest fan base. But Mississippi State, you know, and people, I think college baseball people who are going to watch college baseball, I guess is what I mean, they know Mississippi State at home is something that's worth watching. They know those crowds are going to be exciting to watch. So, yeah, I think State's going to get some primetime exposure this weekend.
And you got a little bit of nostalgia, too, Ty Martin home run.
That will definitely get brought up for sure. We're going to try to get some folks on to talk about Mississippi State and Notre Dame, as well as some other interviews this week. We got some football stuff to talk about a little later in the week. Obviously, just wanted to focus on baseball today. Tomorrow's show is the Rumblings, so get those questions in. I believe Robbie's already fired off the tweet. We've got some questions already coming in. I can't wait to answer the first one. It's already come in. I've got a great smart aleck answer.
I saw it, too.
Don't worry.
I'll let you handle it.
That tomorrow. And until then, though, we'll be back with you. So, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.